Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you. You are the boom shakalaka. A little more heat on this. That'll save my voice. Boy, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody say amen. Amen. Well, it's great to be back with you tonight. And we appreciate the Wilbanks. How many of you love your pastor and his wife? Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. We appreciate all of you. And we had great church this morning. And sorry it was so calm and strong. But amen. Normally I don't do that till I've been here a while. But for the first time after many years, amen, I just like, well, okay, Jesus, that's what I'll do. And all I know is he's coming. And the day ain't done. He could come tonight. Coming when we don't think it. Amen. He's coming when we don't think it, but amen, he's coming. Let's give Pastor's wife a big hand for playing piano. She can stop. Amen. You're good. Amen. These musicians did a great job. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. I'm going to begin tonight a series. We're setting the schedule up a couple of more times this year, and then after the first of the year, we'll go every month or every 5 or 6 weeks, whatever we can get worked out on the calendar, we'll come back and do this on Saturday mornings. We talked about 9 o'clock or 9:30 till noon. And then you have the rest of the day off, and then we'll have some high church on Sunday. But we want to get through some material the Lord gave me many years ago, year 2001. Actually, with Brother Foster, and I'll talk to you about that. But I want to teach you one of the series of notes I want to talk to you about it tonight. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech or beg you, be ye followers of me. For this cause, or so that you will be followers, I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. Everybody say son. And faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. This was not just written to the Corinthians, though it was written to the Corinthians. Paul says here, I teach this in every church, everywhere. Amen, from these verses. So I want to talk to you on spiritual fathers. Spiritual fathers. Look at somebody and ask them, who's your daddy? Say it like I said. Say, who's your daddy? Some of y'all ain't saying nothing. You need to look at somebody and say, who's your daddy? Amen. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. 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 Let me just teach through this here for a minute. In verse 14, he says, I write unto you, my beloved sons. The word sons here is technon. It is a child that is produced, or produced from the seed of a mother. So it's talking about a baby. Verse 17, he uses the term sons again. And here it is a technon again. He said, Timothy is my baby, my son, a beloved son, very dear. He's not just a son, but he's faithful, used of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. And I want to bring you into remembrance, which is to recall to one's mind or to remind you. What do you want to remind us of, Paul? I want to remind you of my ways. And the word ways here is hodos, H-O-D-O-S. It means a traveler's way or the way I journey. Metaphorically, according to the familiar figure of speech, especially frequent in Hebrew, not unknown to the Greeks, by which an action is spoken of as proceeding, it denotes a course of conduct, a way or manner of thinking, feeling, or deciding. Now, Paul has written, and I forgot to look at this, so let me look at my Bible and I can tell you, written to the Corinthian church around, let's just look here. First Corinthians is written in 59 A.D. Second Corinthians is written in 60 A.D. So it's 33, 43, 53, 26 years after the day of Pentecost. And Paul did not have jets and fast-speeding boats and fast cars to get from town to town. So he would establish church and move on, set leadership over it. And the reason was, is he was trying to get the gospel to the whole world. But now, 20-some years into the beginning of the church, there's a problem that arises. It's a problem with their conduct, with their manner of feeling, with their way of thinking. And he says here, you may have 10,000 instructors. Now, the word instructors here is podagogus. It means a boy leader. A servant whose office it was to take the children to school. They called him a schoolmaster. Yep. Let me just read through some of these notes. One commentary says of the podagogus, he was a slave to whom boys were entrusted on leaving the care of the females, which was somewhere about the 16th year. He was often a foreigner, sometimes educated and refined, but often otherwise. For Plutarch complains that seamen, traders, users and farmers are engaged in this capacity of being a tutor or a podagogus, which was a boy leader. They just took the boys to school. The office was one of general guardianship, not of instruction. Though sometimes a podagogus acted as a teacher, he accompanied the boys to school carrying the books and etc. and attended him to the gymnasium and elsewhere. He was just an oversight. He just kept a close eye on the boys, and that was it. He said, you may have 10,000 of these boy leaders, but you have not many fathers. Fathers here is a word that properly means equivalent to a generator or male ancestor, the nearest ancestor. It's the founder of a race, a tribe, or progenitor of people. Equivalent to one advanced in years, a senior. Does somebody say, who's your daddy? Metaphorically, it's the originator or transmitter of anything, one who stands in a father's place and looks after another in a paternal way. He looks after someone in a paternal way. This was what Paul was saying. Now, the Corinthian church got in all kinds of trouble, and I got a lot of notes, so I'm just going to keep reading. If you got any questions, just wave your hand and I'll stop and try to answer them. Father, another commentary says, comes from a root word signifying a nourisher, protector, upholder, one advanced in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is the originator of a family, a company of persons animated by the same spirit as himself. Touch somebody and say, you act just like your daddy. Amen. I hope I do. I love my daddy. He passed away 3 years ago. Only thing, I'm not like him. He was real quiet and come to the altar and he'd lift his hand and a tear run down his face. But he was a good man. I told you this morning, he never one time said a negative word about church, anybody in the church, or pastor. I got three amens on that point. Look at somebody and say, we forgot. We need to say amens. I'm teaching, so I'm kind of letting you off the hook, but just say amen in case I get to feeling crazy. Amen. I remember the first time I was in Bible college, and since you didn't say amen, I'll throw this point in here. I'm kidding. But Brother Norris called me in my second year, or his first year in the towards the end of the first year and said, there's a pastor that wants you to come preach. I said, excuse me? Brother Norris, he's like 80. Brother Godwin, there's a pastor called that wants you to. He didn't have a voice because he preached without PAs and he lost his voice. And he established Apostolic Bible Institute up in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's still going on today, about 65, 70 students total. But back then, we was 220, 230. Us and JCM, Jackson College of Ministries, were the two bigger schools. And he called me and said, this pastor called and wants you to come preach. I said, who? He said, from Lockport, Illinois, Brother Willis. I said, Lockport, where? I don't know Lockport. What in the world are you talking about? I didn't have a clue. I didn't know who it was. He wants you to come preach. And so Brother Manier drove me, and he went on down to Moline, Illinois, and dropped me off there at Lockport. And I preached Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And Sunday night, I'm preaching, and when I get done, there's a woman comes running up to the platform. Oh, 50-something years old, and walks up on steps, and I'm standing right here. And she says, excuse me, I need to talk to him. I said, oh, yeah, come right on. She come up on the platform screaming and hollering. And without me even realizing I did it, I said, oh, God, no, 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 God. And screaming. And Pastor, she jerked. She looked, what's going on? What's going on, Pastor? What's wrong? I said, what's going on? I can't believe God hadn't killed her. Screamed at me. My first time preaching out ever. She fell on her knees, was crying. And I walked up and told her, I said, I ain't ever heard nobody talk to a pastor. I've been raised by a pastor. Nobody in our church ever did that. Nobody ever talked to the platform. Walked up on platform, sticking their finger in his face and screaming at him, what in the world's wrong with you? Pastor starts crying. She's crying. She starts apologizing and all that. And then from that, over the years, I got a rude awakening. Most churches wasn't like church I grew up in. We love the pastor. Brother R.D. Whalen walk in, it's like, oh, my God. I mean, we never bowed to him, but it was like, oh, Jesus, this is man of God. Come on. Come on. And I think the reason was because the way mom and dad, they never said a negative word, not one. Come on. I got two amens. I must be hitting y'all straight between the lips. Amen. Someone say fake it and say amen. Amen. So what I'm talking to you about, and we got weeks of material we can go through, but what I'm talking to you about is the man of God, this man. How long have you been here? 30, how many years? 30? 8 years. I think I noticed a sign out there on the brick out there on the wall said, founded by. Started this church in what? In a
beer tavern down the road.
In a what?
Beer tavern. Beer. Beer drinking tavern.
Honky tonk. Is there anybody here who prayed through when it was at the honky tonk? Anybody?
Lift your hand.
One, two, three.
More than that. You're dead.
One, two, three. Raise your hand. One, two, three. One, two, three. Everybody prayed through at the bar? Come on, raise your hand. See, I know what it is. Y'all Pentecostals don't want nobody to believe you was ever lost. Look at somebody and say, I was lost one day. I ain't proud of it, but I'm going to tell you straight up, I was lost. I mean, just finding a building you can have church in. Can you imagine? I've never heard anybody tell me they started a church in a bar.
Yeah, brother.
But here we are tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come on, clap your hands. Metaphorically, it's originated from a family or company of persons animated, everybody say animated, by the same spirit as himself. Who's your daddy? It's the preacher of the gospel who stands in a father's place caring for spiritual children.
Come on.
Let me read through a few translations here. 1 Corinthians 4:15 of the phrase, not many fathers. That is, you have but one. You are to remember that however many teachers you have, that I alone am your spiritual father. Another commentary says, many offer to instruct you who have no parental feeling. All the parents in the building, raise your hand. Parents, come on, parents. You know what parental feeling is?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you don't want nobody crossing your children. I mean, you know, look, like I say, jokingly, of course, but don't try me because I got a bad gear in me. But I mean, you mess with my kids now. I say often, I'll repent when I'm done. Not until. Everybody that agrees with that, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you very much. You love your kids. Now, Paul uses the term father here, not just saying I'm your physical, natural dad, but more importantly, I am your spiritual father. Many offer to instruct you who have no parental feeling for you. And how can they? You are not their spiritual children. You stand in this relation to me alone, Paul was saying. For in Christ Jesus, by the power and unction of his Spirit, I have begotten you. I was the means of bringing you into a state of salvation so that you have been born again. Now I'm going to go deep here and talk plain for everybody. But when you are born again, it's not just you come here, I accept Jesus. My birth. There ain't no place in the Bible nobody said to anybody, I accept Jesus. No place did that happen. Amen. They were born again. And Paul brings himself into the new birth process a few sentences ago. I mentioned Paul said, I became your dad. I was in a parental way, fathered you. How did he father you? The Bible is called the word, the logos, which is thought. It's also called seed. The church is the mother of us all. So when we pray people through, they become what? New converts or babes in Christ. How do they become born again? The mother gives birth to them. How did mama get pregnant? Through the word. That tells me if I go to a church and they're not praying people through, well, number one problem is, you know, either the seed ain't good, and I ain't never seen the word good, not good. Or mama may be all jacked up. Maybe mama can't get pregnant. Maybe she needs a supernatural miracle. We know Bible. We got Bible for that. God can. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three. I mean, Sarah couldn't. Rebecca wouldn't. Rachel couldn't. But God touched them and boom, they became pregnant. Because of a supernatural touch. So what about you? What's going on in this church? What's up? You are the mother of us all. So mamas produce children. Everybody touch somebody and say, I'm a mama in the spirit. God sees me as a mama. Man, he sees us as mama. We're his bride. Touch somebody and say, I'm his bride. I'm a man, but in spiritual sense, we are his bride. Amen, amen. So there is to be a, there through the word, when the word of God is preached, it is seed going forth. This is why I talked about leadership class. This is why an amen or reaction to the word is absolutely biblically imperative and important. If we do not mix faith with the word preached profits us nothing. Now, this is why I'm just making this point again today. I appreciate you saying amen and everything, because here's the point. If all the preacher does is talk and it's silent, it's a political speech. Everybody say amen. Amen. There's got to be something in you that understands preaching and the delivering of the word. Can I just say this church setting is a supernatural event? I said to the pastor in the office, when God began to, in the beginning God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then the next verse is, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered. What happened? He just said, let there be light. How can it be covered with darkness? Lucifer, the anointed cherub, thought about rebelling and God cast him out of heaven. Whoosh! Into the earth, 186,000 miles per second at the speed of a strike of lightning. He and one third of the innumerable host of angels hit this planet that was in the midst of creation and threw it into complete and utter chaos. And when God said, let there be light, it became complete darkness. And before you get out of verse 2, the Bible says, here's how I'm going to fix what the devil's messed up. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. And a verse or two later it says, and God said. What does it take to fix up a city, an area, a community, a family, a person's life that has been jacked up from the floor? Drugs and alcohol and prostitution and foolishness and drug addiction and alcoholism and stealing and lying and cheating and drinking until you're puking your guts up and claim you're doing your own thing. What in the world? Drugging up till you're spun out. Now you're on meth or fentanyl. If you take one hit, you are an addict immediately.
Yes, sir.
How do we get you out of that? There's only one way, folks. They've got to be with somebody in a Bible study or in a church service. And there's got to be, first of all, a move of God that's followed by a word from God. And that can fix up anything the devil's jacked up. I know. Every church has, everybody's got people, I'm just not emotional. All those lies. I mean, just lies. Get out of work, let somebody cross. I tell you, wait, what? Now calm down now. You're not emotional, remember?
Right.
Come on. Everybody that said you're not emotional, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, come on. See, now you're going to lie to me, Ellie. I'm just not built that way. I don't get all happy, happy, clappy, clappy. Can you imagine? In a moment, bam, pew, we're going to be changed. In a moment, a twinkling, we're going to be on the other side. And you can't say, oh, glory, thank you, Jesus, to that. The reason probably is you're not ready. And since you ain't saying amen, I'm just staying right here. Some of y'all all dressed up and look all Pentecostalized, but I know what I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all look like Pentecostal, but you jacked up from the floor up. Now, if I'm looking at you, it ain't you. It could be somebody close. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You getting it? Say amen. Say, y'all need to say loud amen. Say amen. You holler at me every 15 seconds. Preach, preacher. Just tell him. Come on. There you go. That'll keep me going. That'll keep me going. Do you understand what's going on in this church? I mean, pastor don't need to prove he's theologically exposé and got all these books in there. I'm going to buy. I ain't ever seen them. I'm like, what? Give me a picture of that. I'm going to tell you. It's going to cost me about $1,300 if I get the whole set, but it could have been almost $2,000. That's pretty good, but it's going to take a couple months to save up that kind of money, but I'm going to get them. What we have to have in every service is two things, a move of God, followed by a word from God. Why? God proved to us in the beginning, anything the devil jacks up, I can fix it up in just a minute's time. How you gonna fix my family? All we need is a move of God, followed by a word from God, and you're gonna be brand new. Come on, somebody. Oh, I wish I had somebody believe that. I mean, can you imagine now? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Boy, that was a long and lingering hallelujah, clapping amen. That was pretty good right there. I mean, can you imagine walking through life, getting up in the morning, don't need no cigarette. Or don't need no coke. Need no cocaine. And then come to church and worry about going, glory to God. You go ahead. Can you imagine getting up and never needing a snort? Never needing a needle with some heroin. Never needing a joint. You don't need no joint to calm down. What you need a joint for? You cool? You got the Holy Ghost. Hey. I don't need no. What? I got some folks going. Tell your neighbor, say amen.
Amen.
He's going to ruin this expose of a Bible study just because you ain't saying nothing. I mean, are you serious?
Come on.
And in one moment, all you got to do is come into a church and feel. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but when I feel God, I get goosebumps. Anybody else get goosebumps? Hey, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I get woo on my neck. Amen. If it's real good, I get run down my back. My body's recognizing. Or tears start running. What's going on? Move. It don't matter if it's a country song. Got some good old black gospel, which I am. Hallelujah. I'm a black man trapped in a white body. Yes, I am. Give me some skin right there. That's what I'm talking about, Mama. I am black man trapped in white body. I mean, I was in church, at church. I wasn't in church. I was at church growing up waiting for God to decide to give it to me. That's what I was told. It's craziness. It's a whole other message for another night. But I mean, when I was, you know, I'd be listening to music and just, hey, writing down. I got songs popping in my head right now. Boom. 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 Amen. I'm telling you, you know what? But you can come in. I'd come into church, and they get to sing. We used to sing out of the hymnals, song books, page 93. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Oh, on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, or joy unspeakable and full of glory. Page 71.
Come on.
They get to singing that and the chills get, oh, geez. What is it? Here's the thing I understand. When we worship God, our worship produces a move of God. Come on, somebody. That's how I know I go to churches all over. Someplace they got boom, banging music. But I ain't feeling nothing. They give me the pulpit and say, Lord, have mercy. I do something. Got to get God in here. I don't feel him nowhere. I mean, he's in here, but not in his manifest glory. God is everywhere in his omnipresence. But he's not everywhere in his manifest glory where God begins to move. Come on, tell somebody we need God to move. We need God to move in this church. We need God to move in this city. We need God to move in all your businesses. That's what we need, God to move. Can I say to you, you need people in your business to walk up to you and say, what's different about you? I need to know. I got a bunch of mess in my life. And it looks like everything's up. What's going on? What are you doing to get your life in order? I mean, can you imagine waking up and not needing it? Why? Because the Holy Ghost, it is peace. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's wonderful, wonderful. Everybody just say amen. I'm trying to get everybody in there. If I can get these boys to amen, young men to amen me up here, I can move on. Hallelujah there. I should get pound from somebody who's like hitting a brick. Amen. You was one of them. Ouch. You boys strong. But you need to see all that matters. But when you come to church, the only thing that produces a move of God is your worship. The Bible says, what happens? The Bible says he inhabits. Now he's everywhere in his omnipresence. But when you begin to praise and worship him, he inhabits. Watch it. Bring that chair. Bring that chair. Bring that chair. Amen. You be God. Whenever he's here in his omnipresence. But when you begin to worship God, what does he do? Come on, bring the chair. He inhabits. He sets his praise. If this only man worshiping, he sets his throne up right here in your worship. Now, if this whole section, pick it up. Come on. Help me now. I got to hurry. I'm trying to get these people get with me so I can get to this lesson. If this whole section gets to praise him, he sets it up. Get up in the pew. Come on. Come on. Get up in the pew. Come on. And sets his throne up in this section. But now if the whole church, come on, if the whole church gets to praise him, he'll put his throne up here in the middle of this church and he will enthrone himself. anything you got going on, financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, when his throne shows up, his glory is in this house. Touch your neighbor and say, only worship can do that. I'm saying now, I just said something I've never said preaching, but I'm going to say it again. Only worship. Only worship can get God in this house. In his manifest glory. He inhabits, that means he enthrones himself in the praises of his people. Now you may be 65, 70, 72, 81, whatever. And you physically, I understand, you got a little cane, I understand. You ain't expecting you to get out and run. But every now, I've been watching you. God likes it. Amen. Our elders, you know, you're doing good. You can walk a little bit. I seen you. Ooh, I'm sorry. Give me a step on your toe. You're all right. Give me a stammering signs. Hallelujah. Amen. I seen you while going. I was preaching, made a point. You kind of jerked and threw it out there. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It feels good. Amen. But you know what? You understand whenever you respond, whenever you worship. Listen, I want you to ever forget this. God enthrones himself. Why wouldn't you want to praise God? I'm out here off my nose. I've had people tell me all the time, well, I'm just not built that way. You lying outfit. Praising God ain't got nothing to do with your emotional makeup. Now, I haven't said run. I hadn't said jump. I hadn't said shout. I hadn't said dance. I hadn't said roll. I just said worship. Hallelujah, that's worship. Praise God, tears rolling, that's worship. Bowing over in a pew, weeping and crying, that's worship. I didn't say do anything, but you got to do something. But, and I'm talking to church folks, you have to do something besides sit there. Because if you just sit there, God will not move in his manifest glory. But if everything that has breath in the house will give him praise, God will show up and his throne and glory and miracles can happen. Touch your neighbor and say they can happen everywhere if we will worship him. Let me say amen. Now, what follows the move of God is a word from God. God began to recreate what Lucifer's presence messed up. God can fix up anything the devil's messed up. That's why you witness to anybody and everybody. I mean, you know, rich people got it going on. They driving in their truck cool, and you know, you don't worry about them. They fine. They gonna hit something where they go, oh man, I need some help. I had happened on a plane on Southwest Airlines years ago. Got on a plane in Phoenix and got on a plane. There was a man sitting there talking to one. And I knew immediately. I mean, Holy Ghost. I didn't say it to them, but I knew Holy Ghost. He's this man's drunk. He's got trouble. He needs to sit down. I said, hey, Bubba, come on with me. I got him by the hand. Looked at the way I winked at him. I got him and set him down on that first row right there. And set him down up against the wall. He said, sit down there, Bubba. And he said, he's about 70 years old. We got to talking. He's just talking all. And finally I said, what do you do for a living? I own a carpenter store, Louisville, Kentucky. I said, what? He like Home Depot. Ain't Home Depot's my business. I said, oh, so you own a business, yeah. What are you doing out here? Ah, stupid son, he's drunk. And I had to bring him out of here and put him in the Betty Ford Clinic. He's going to bankrupt me. I said, and I'm thinking, boy, you cray-cray in the gooey-all. You crazy in the head, man. You drunk too now. What's the problem? But I didn't say that. I said, really? Yeah, yes. And we kept talking. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. He said, no. He went immediately sober and said, no. I said, yeah. They brought us some coffee. We sat back, got him calmed down, got to talking. I said, do you know what'll fix you? He said, tell me, Reverend. I said, you need to be born again. He said, born of what? I said, you need to be born again. I don't understand. So had a long flight to Houston. I said, boy, I said, our first birth got us in a mess. He said, what? Bible says we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity and self-will. He said, oh, my. I said, Jesus came. He said, you must be born again. Wow. I had him on the hook. Time that plane landed, tears were coming, and he was sober. He told me about his business. He said, I'm a multimillionaire, but my son, he said, I'm telling you, he's about to bankrupt because he's on dope. Send him to Betty Ford Clinic. I said, I got a church in Louisville you need to go to. Gave him the pastor's name. Last time I talked to him, he had been there, been praying. They had him in a Bible study. I don't know what's happened now. What are you saying? It don't matter how bad your situation is. God gave us the remedy for all the mess in the world. He didn't say you need a church. He said you need a move of God. Followed by a word from God. You can be seated. Thank you, Bubba. Everybody give him a hand. He did so good. Word here is logos, and thank you, Bubba. Just keep standing there. Hey, man, just keep standing there. You're doing good. Checking you out right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, man, so here's what we're saying is the Word of God is the logos. Now, how does the Word of God get in us? It follows a worshiping of people. Once we worship, we create an atmosphere, an environment for God to manifest himself. Once that happens, God shows up in his throne, in his royal regal authority, and all he's got to do is say, let there be. Come on, somebody. That, can I tell you, that's why you come in here drunk, high, messed up, but the preacher got to preach. He may not have said, let there be, but he told you how you could be changed, that Jesus was the best thing in your life. You came to the altar. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. They baptized you in Jesus' name. Now you're looking 10 years later, think, man, I ain't drunk. I ain't took no dope. What in the world happened? You became a new creation. Amen. The scripture says we become a new creature. The word creature literally is creation. How does that happen? The creator has to get involved in your life. Now, can I just say to you, if you're here and you've been saved and you're struggling with smoking, been saved 5, 6, 8, 10 years, and you're struggling with smoking stuff, well, your flesh is getting the best of you. What do you need to do? You need to pray through. You need to get the Holy Ghost again. You need to pray. You need to do that pretty frequently. Get you a refilling. You know, you can drink some water, but at some point you got to fill it back up so you can drink some more. A church can't go on. I'm trying to help you. A church can't go on what you got 37 years ago. You can't live. I know people. I know a preacher years ago. 3 weeks before he died, he called, had his wife call a bunch of us and said, want us to pray for him because he needed a refilling of the Holy Ghost. He had never had a renewing in his 60-some years living for God. And 2 or 3 days before he died, he prayed through laying on his bed and went to talking in tongues again. This was a preacher. Used to be a district superintendent. Great man. I love him to death. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want to mark him. Are you serious? 60 years and you have never talked in tongues again after your first birth? Well, somebody say he's back in some notes. So what am I saying? I'm saying, first of all, we have to have a move of God that's followed by a word from God. That can recreate anything and anybody. He says, I've begotten is to regenerate, of men begetting children, the Jewish sense of one who brings others over to his way of life. When people are born again, we are bringing them over to God's way of life. Paul says, I am the author of your Christian life. I have begotten you by means of the gospel, by preaching it to you, that is, by truth. I was the means of bringing you into a state of salvation so that you have been born again. Ye are my children alone in the gospel. As far as your life in Jesus Christ is concerned, it is I who became your father by bringing you the good news. I begat you, humus agencia. Paul is their spiritual father in Christ, while Apollos and the rest of their tutors in Christ are tutors in Christ. Other Bible references, for I have begotten, Amplified version, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings. The Living Bible says, for I was one who brought you to Christ when I preached the gospel to you. New Living Translation says, for I became your father in Christ when I preached the good news to you. Young's Literal Translation says, for in Christ Jesus, through the good news, I did begat you. Right. New American Standard says, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Right. Quickly, the spirit condition of the Corinthian church should have been in excellent condition. Paul had established them in foundational doctrines. They had seen and heard the eloquence and fervor of Apollos. They were full of revelation. They were gifted of the Spirit. They were charismatic, meaning the gifts of the Spirit was operating in them. But upon close inspection, they were full of division, discord, and dysfunction. First chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul goes to what I believe is the crux of the matter. And he says, they were following boy leaders. When you were following Apollos and Cephas and all that, these were nothing but tutors. They were boy leaders. But he said, I'm your daddy. Therefore, they were still technons. 30 some years later, they were as ones that were just born or they were immature. So Paul sends one of his faithful sons to put them in remembrance of his ways, bring them into order. Thief on the cross said, remember me. Notice the breakdown of the word remember. Remember. Put me back together. Where did this begin? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions. Everybody say, no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together. 1 Corinthians 1:10. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Why? For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are divisions among you or contentions among you. You're born again. Your name's written down in heaven. You are the body of Christ, but there is contentions. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? This is what Paul is saying. There were divisions and contentions because they were not of the same mind or of the same judgment. Divisions here means split or gap or schism. They were rent. Metaphorically, a dissension. Contentions is a quarrel, wrangling. Debate, strife, or variance. Touch somebody and say, in the church, among the newborn believers, there was quarreling and variance and strife, contention, wrangling. Romans 13:13, 1 Corinthians 1:11, and a whole bunch of other verses. Paul's sons in the gospel were not following him, but they were following boy leaders who were of no condition to bring them into maturity. They were all saying, I'm of this one and of that one, and this was causing division and contentions. Favorite preachers were the order of the day and not Paul, their father in the gospel. Therefore, the order of God was broken. Can I say to you, you will never be all that you can be by being separated from your spiritual father. Father to son is the order of God in the kingdom. Tell somebody, it's the order of God. Adam is the father of the human race. Abraham is the father to the nation of Israel. Aaron is the father of the Aaronic priesthood. Levi is the father to the tribe of Levites. Levi served the sons of Aaron in ministry. How did he do that? By playing music, moving furniture. But no matter how, this comes right from a commentary, no matter how menial the task or ministry was, the work was considered true ministry. Can I say to you that are here in the church, if you clean the church, if you clean the bathrooms, if you hold signs out at the parking lot welcoming people to church, if you open the door for the church, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how seemingly minimal it is. It is considered true ministry. true ministry. Aaron had sons, had four sons, and possibly served. They possibly served as a foreshadowing, Aaron and his four sons, of the fivefold ministry. Spiritual progression and inheritance is from father to son, as is spiritual digression. We're all guilty of the sin of because of our father Adam. The human race was saved through one father, Noah, Israel chosen by God through Abraham, their father. We are all forgiven, new creatures in Christ Jesus because of our heavenly Father. Each generation should experience growth through their inheritance and new blessings. How? Watch this. Now I could preach on all this. Abraham begets Isaac. Isaac begets two sons. Jacob, the second son, begets 12 sons. 12 sons beget 12 tribes. The 12 tribes beget 12 nations. They went into Egypt, 75 to 100 people. But they came out 400 years later, 2.5 million people under Egyptian bondage, Pharaoh's persecution, them building Egypt's foolish craziness. But they came out greater than anybody ever imagined. Can I tell you that while we're living in this world, it doesn't matter what the mess is. It don't matter how bad the government gets. It doesn't matter. If we will stay in order, touch your neighbor and say, stay in order.
Stay in order.
Tell your neighbor, stay in order.
Stay in order.
Can I tell you, we've been through the pandemic and all kinds of craziness, and the church just keeps on clicking. I mean, we just keep on kicking. How? As long as we stay in order, we're under the protection of God, under the blessings of God. Each generation inherited their father's revelations of God, their land, and their prophecies. There's a spiritual link between generations, father to son and son to sons and so on. Each generation continuing in revelation, power, and anointing. The question is, and I close, do you know who your daddy is? Now I'm talking to you as mature folks now. Do you know who your daddy is? Does it really matter? Ezra 2 and verse 62. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted and put from the priesthood. Register here is the record of royal authority. Priests who could not prove themselves members of the priesthood. Three such families are named the sons of Habiah, the sons of Hakuz, and the sons of Barzillai. These could not discover their family registers and were excluded from the exercise of priestly functions. They had lost the evidence of their descent. Their loss was held to disqualify them from the exercise of the priestly office. Now this is after they come out of captivity and they're trying to get the religious system and the priesthood and everything set up, and there was people running in and jumping in line and say, I'm in the priesthood. And they had their little books out there. We call them books. They would say, what's your name? And your genetic, your genealogical structure, where are you from?
Come on.
They couldn't show that their daddy was connected to the priesthood. And here they were trying to slip in.
Come on.
What am I saying? You have to be very careful in your walk and your growth with God. Of people that want to insert division and discord. Why would they do that? Because they don't like their spiritual daddy. Genealogy means a sprout or to enroll by pedigree. To reckon is to be searched among the ancestral registration. Polluted is to defile, to desecrate, to stain. What are you saying, Brother Godwin? Can I tell this church, and I feel this in the Holy Ghost, I have never done this in a revival, especially the first night, to teach this material. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, proof of sonship is right to priesthood. Or should I say, gives you right to full maturity.
Come on, Brad. Come on.
Because you know we're supposed to be growing. How? Up in fullness and measure and the stature of Christ. Tell somebody and say, are you growing? Can I say to you, and I got tons of material on this, but I want to close with this. Can I say to you, if you only knew the favor and the blessings of God that have come upon you, not just because of your college degree, not just because of your work ethic and your longtime service in that industry, but because you have, maybe without knowing, you just have done it, have positioned yourself underneath pastor and say, pastor, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you need, we'll do it. We'll do our very best to do it. And he has become like to you a spiritual father. Now I can tell you, in my 40 years of preaching now, 33 of them evangelizing, I've seen churches all over the United States. I've preached in every state. I've seen people that look just like you, dressed up, fixed up, churchied up. But there was an absolute disconnection between them and their pastor. And you could just tell it. Well, they paid their tithes and gave offering. They're faithful to church, but couldn't pick up a heartbeat. Why am I on this? I'm saying this to this church because this church is on the brink of the greatest revival you have ever seen. And I like all the hand clap, and I appreciate it, but I just want to stay standing because I'm done. It's going to help me close. If you only understood what the last 38 years have done in the spirit in this area. And I would tell you any demonic activity that is going on or has been going on, the reason the devil's fighting you now is because he knows he don't have but a short time. And the devil's doing everything and anything he can to cause discord and division, just like happened in the church in the beginning. They didn't want Paul as pastor, as daddy. Tell him, don't do that. No, you don't need to go there. No, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. No, sir, I wouldn't do that. They just wanted somebody to be a boy leader who had no parental feeling for them. I know of churches where the pastor just said, you just pay your tithes and offerings, we'll have a good church, sing choir, I'll preach a little sermon, we'll go home, everything will be good. Now I want the choir to be good, and I want the praise to be good, and singing to be good, and I want the preacher to be good, but I need a daddy. Brother Whalen was my first pastor. When he started getting Alzheimer's, well, I had to find another pastor because you know what Alzheimer's does. And I was kind of hanging out and around, and Brother Foster said, you need to go to Brother Ewing. Called Brother Ewing. He said, bring him on, Bubba. Went down there, Brother Ewing became like a spiritual father. We was going one day to eat, and his hair was all messed up, had on overalls and a t-shirt, big long sleeve t-shirt. Bare feet stuck in some floor, some zip-up old dress shoes. He was old, man. His feet just dropped off in him. He said, Bubba, come on, let's go get us some crawfish. Laid back in church. And I don't remember what I said for the life of me. But all of a sudden, he ran. You will not do that. I said, no, I'm saying I would. He said, you listen to me. I'm telling you that. He started screaming at me. I started crying. I'm driving his truck. I'm like, what in the world? He said, you understand me? I said, yes, sir, Bishop, I understand. He said, all right. He had to sleep at me. He slept as soon as he got still. He was a daddy. He's at the house one night after first store conference, about 25 of us here. Two or three pastors were there, never been there. I'd never met him in my life, never seen him. We all got done. We just sat around the house. Brother Ewing just drinking coffee, talking. And we sat down. These men started talking. They started talking about people. Brother Ewing was sitting here in the corner. I was sitting on this side. Brother Morgan, or David Smith was sitting there. Brother Morgan sitting there. Brother George Guy was there. Brother Bourne, Brother J.T. Pugh. And these three men sitting there, and they were. And Brother Ewing sat there in a chair. Bring that chair back up here, brother. Yep. Thank you very much. Well, you've done so good. I like you. I love you. Brother Ewing was sitting there in his chair, and he's doing just like this. Yep. And those three men kept talking for about 12, 15 minutes about people. And none of us said nothing. We just sitting there. All Brother Ewing was doing was, finally, them boys realized, uh-oh, they got quiet. Brother Ewing was sitting there next to me, and he started patting me on the hand. He said, Bubba, you know what? I said, what, Bishop? He said, some people beat all I ever seen talking about people. And he went right back to, I didn't say nothing. I said, well, about 3 or 4 minutes of that, they started getting up and leaving. I have never seen them since. Why? Discord and dysfunction and quarreling. Remember, we're the body of Christ. You know what happens when your body gets something wrong, get a little flu bug in it? What happens? Start throwing up, diarrhea. Touch your neighbor and say, it's a mess. You know what happens in a church when mess gets in it? Discord, dissension, division. We cannot be the body of Christ, the church, with a bunch of mess. So how do you fix the mess? The beginning was, Paul said, I'm your daddy. I don't know. I mean, these Paulus and Cephas. And Paulus was good. They prayed him through. Cephas was good. I mean, it was Peter. He was the boom shakalaka. But in spiritual relationship, Paul said, I'm your daddy, not Pete. Why? Because I preached you. I begat you when I preached the gospel to you. Can I say to you what I feel like telling you tonight is, Pastor, come right out here. Yeah, that's good. There need to be some of you young men need to understand your future is totally dependent upon your spiritual connection to this man of God. Not just he's your preacher. Not just he's your sermonizer. But you need to see this man. And this woman, if we had another piano player, I'd let him come and let her off that piano. But this is ain't some little weekend warrior here. Touch your neighbor and say, that's my daddy. Because he preached the gospel to me. And I've already ran through it. What happened? I was begotten by the gospel that was preached from my pastor. He's pastor. He's preacher. He's a good man. But most important term I could put on your pastor is when you reach maturity, that's your daddy. How do you feel about your natural daddy? You do what? I love him. Is he in here? Where is he at? Oh, did you see how she said that? I love him. I love him. She's turned red. I love him. Just as you feel that way about him, that's your natural daddy. You have a spiritual father. And I tell you this in the Holy Ghost. You may be older than your daddy, but you're not more anointed than daddy. And I know you feel this way. Whatever he says, that's what's going to happen. Why? Not because he's your preacher. Not because he's your pastor. You have to elevate your understanding. That's my Apostle Paul. spiritual father. That's now you may have born again somewhere else, but you've moved here. God's moved you here. You got married, and this is your home church. Now what you've got, this man has got to become your father. He can't be that if you don't allow it to happen. Your respect and honor to him cannot be favored if you don't give it. But if when he preaches, you say amen, you come to the altar, he calls for work day, you show up if all possible. I'm way out here now. But you do everything you can. I mean, you come in there and brought me a handkerchief. I got that hanky. Man, I ain't going to use that. I'm going to put that in my Bible. Just keep it there. I mean, that don't mean nothing to somebody else, but that's awesome. Brought it to your pastor. Why? He's not just your preacher, it's your father. You understand? Now what I'm going to ask you now, and I felt this today when I woke up from my little 35, 40 minute nap, about 42 minutes because I hit the snooze button one time. I want to ask you, who is that to you? Who's it to your house? Who is it to your house? Is that just your preacher? Is it just your pastor? I'm asking you to allow your relationship to grow now. And say, you know what? I've been here 27 years, but it's like my daddy. Whatever he says. Ain't that what you do to your natural daddy? If daddy says don't, you say what?
What?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Turning red. Yes, sir. Now, if you do that in the natural, how much more should you do that to your spiritual father? Now, you've been here 38 years, started in a bar. I'm going crazy. I can't believe he started drinking bar. I'm going to talk about that all over the country. Y'all going to be famous, I'm telling you now. That's your daddy. This built everything here is because of daddy. Now, you can just have it your preacher, your pastor, but if you'll allow him to say, you're my father. If that's the way you feel about him, won't you get out of your seats and won't you come up here as close as you can to him? Come on, get in here close as you can to him. Come on quickly. If this is your spiritual father, you say, Daddy, whatever you want, that's what we're going to do. Come on in close. Come on in close. Right over here. Everybody come right over here. Everybody come right over here. Everybody come right up. I'm going to help you out with altar calls next time I come back. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on up in here. Just come on. Come on up in here. Snuggle up close. If you're not from this church, I understand. No problem. Get as close as you can. That's my daddy. Appreciate the hanky, Bubba. It meant something to me when you gave it to me. Now put your hand on the person in front of you. Put it on the shoulder in front of you. Come on. Put your hand on the person in front of you. There you go. There you go. Everybody's touching somebody who's touching their daddy. There's more here than just where we sing religious songs and talk sermons. But there is a spiritual family here. And I want you to lift your voice now and begin to tell the Lord, God, I don't want nothing to become between my family members or my dad or my mom. Come on, tell him in the name of Jesus. God, in your name we pray that the spirit of Paul would be upon this man of God, the spirit of a father. As people are born again, they are begotten by the preached word of God. Your word that is preached becomes seed that gets in our womb and we conceive and we bring forth children. People are born again and we thank you for it, God. We've got a spiritual father. It's our pastor. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Now pray for the person next to you in the name of Jesus. Touch my neighbor. Touch my brother, Lord. Help us to mature. Help us to be strong in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, help us to be submitted. Help us to be a full body. With no disease, no discord, no dysfunction in us. Let us be unified. Like never before, God, let us be submitted in humility. Let the humbleness of our spirit be the thing that connects us to our spiritual Father and connects us to you and connects us one to the other. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Now, this will be for the next time. We have to submit to them to have the rule over us is where this comes from. So you can be a child and be cray-cray in the couillon. You can be crazy in the head. Or you can be a child that's submitted and, you know, you don't necessarily like correction, but you take it. My mom, we found a whip out in the backyard. It was about, for me, the pulpit long, about that wide, about that thick. Split up both ends about 8 or 10 inches. She'd fold it in half. She said, oh, this is what I'll whip y'all with, said Daddy's belt. Oh, Lord, I wish we'd never found that. Whatever sling it was, 4, 8, 12, 16, 24. I can't count no higher than that. Hallelujah. I mean, it was 3 shots, but it was times 4. 12. I don't ever remember getting whipped twice for the same thing. Now, my brother, it's different. Man, I got mad one time. I was about 15, 16. She gonna whip me and walked in. Come in here, lay down, Greg. I said, what the fuck? He's so mad. Got a handful of quilt, another quilt. Ha! Bit down on the quilt. And she saw me. I was too stupid. I didn't think she saw me. She saw me. I had a handful of him. I wasn't gonna make no noise. Normally, she'd hit me one time. Ah! Just screaming. She gave him 3, 4, 5, 20. 24. What? She kept on me. Yeah, when I did, I felt the belt hit me in the back. The whip hit me in the back. She ran out screaming, crying. Last whipping I ever got. I ain't gonna do that no more. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying he's not going to whip you. But Daddy says, no, I wouldn't do that. Now, it's your church. You can do what you want. But you have to ask yourself, do you want to be rebellious? Because here's what's happening when you're in the spiritual. I'll play God here. And this is your pastor. As long as he stays underneath me, God, and does what I want, how I want it, the anointing will flow down on him. And as long as you stay underneath him, the anointing will flow on you. Whoever gets out of line gets out of the flow of the anointing. That's vertical. But not only do we have vertical submission, but then we have to submit ourselves one to the other. I want you to touch somebody and say, I'm submitted to you. What are you saying, Brother God? What I'm saying, there's nobody in the church saying, I'm the big man, I'm the big woman, I'm the boom shakalaka, I'm the man with the plan, the cat that knows it, I'm from the cool to the cool. No. Touch somebody and say, I'm submitted to you. I'm equal to you. I'm not trying to get over you. You're not trying to get over me. We all one. What are we? We are his body. I was thinking about this driving to church. I'm good as long as my body stays in order. Pastor talking to him about working out and all the stuff he does, and he's boom shakalaka, you know, wonderful. Why is he doing it? Because he don't want no disease, no craziness to get a hold of him. He's trying to stay in. Now, that's natural. Now take it spiritual. Body. As long as we'll stay worked out and in favor, praying, worshiping, loving one another, there won't be any crazy. No devils jump up in among us. No. Everybody say amen. Amen. Ask somebody, who's your spiritual daddy? Point up here at your pastor and say, that's my daddy. Amen. I love you. Come on, somebody say, that's my daddy. Amen. Amen. Now you understand why? God's his head. Now who's your spiritual? Who's your elder you submit to?
I got a brother, Brother Sam Emery.
Sam Emery? Brother Wonderful.
Baker.
Brother who?
Brother Baker.
Brother Baker. I don't know him. I know Brother Sam Emery.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yes, what's that mean? The anointing on Brother Emery comes to him.
Yeah.
And the anointing on him comes to you. As long as you stay in line. Got another lesson that'll handle it. Tell somebody if he'll shut up, he can do it later. I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. I love you. I hope you got it. High five somebody and say, I got it. Hallelujah.
We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.